Well, good evening. Welcome to our service. It's really good to see you and to be here together. My name's Ben. I'm the pastor here. I'm going to introduce things, and then Jared is going to take over and lead us to think about a particular subject, which is exercise and Christianity. So be ready. Some of you may be thinking your, you know, Olympic days are over. Others, they may be ahead of you. But anyway, I'll be quiet. Jared's going to talk about that. But that's our theme this evening, and we look forward to it. And thank you, Jared, so much for helping us.
All right. We're doing something called a hot topic. Now, we do a hot topic once every month, typically. Is that right, Ben? Well, what we try and do is we take something that's, I was going to say mildly controversial, but I guess it's not really. Something that Christians query and figure out where they stand, and then we try and apply it. In an attempt to be distinct from the culture that we're in. Okay, and tonight we're looking at exercise and what that looks like and what that means. Now, I'm aware that if we look at percentages in Culver Hall Road, there's probably over 50% who are, I don't know, 60 years old or plus. Is that fair? Is that reasonable? Or am I literally kicked out of membership now? Is that the end? I don't know. But this is still relevant. This is still relevant to you, particularly as we begin to consider what is valuable and how do we perceive value in a world filled with Instagram selfies or Snapchat posts, which are all to do with image and body. Now, if I was just to stand up here and it all to come from me for the next 45 minutes, half an hour, you'd probably just let it go straight out of your head. So let's get in the Bible. If you haven't got a Bible, please raise your hand. Someone can drop it to you. I'm happy to drop it to you. Do you have a Bible? We're going to turn to 1 Timothy, which if you're using a church Bible, is on page... Anybody? Here we go. Ben stitched me up because I told him to place this on the lectern and he closed it. Oh, Ben. Page 1192. 1192, we're going to be in. Yeah. And then jumping around a little bit. But yeah, has everyone got a Bible? Has everyone got sight of that? Okay. Before we read this, we're going to read verses 1 to 10 as the sort of baseline text that we're going to be in, and then we'll dive in. But before we do, we've got to ask the Lord to speak. Because I don't know about you, but I really need revision. I really need to not conform to the world in this respect, and I do. I really need the Lord to move tonight in me. So why don't I pray that for all of us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together to look at your word and see the truth that's in there. Father, in a world that is scrambling for truth and identity, Lord, it's glorious that you are unchanging in your consistency, in your holiness, in your purity, and in your goodness. And we ask, Lord, that you would allow us to be impacted by examining this passage and considering the challenges that we face in our culture. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I come from a family of athletic individuals. I'm the youngest of three brothers. I also have an older sister, and my dad is very athletic. And for the first time a couple of years back, I had an experience of what it's like to watch younger people running around and you thinking, you should have seen me a few years ago. Because a couple of years back, I had a shoulder impingement, and I know Ben relates, this is something that you got to. Shoulder impingement, groin injury that really sort of debilitated me and prevented me from competing in sports. And I found myself really sort of rocked almost in an identity point of view, thinking, wow, like, I'm so less valuable, I'm not as worthwhile as I was because I can't compete like I used to. I can't sprint around or run 5K like I did, or do a bit of MMA, or even just play football with some friends. They got me thinking about, you know, I know there are a few people here tonight who have sort of long-term illnesses that affect their energy or affect their body's ability to even stand for a long period of time. And they got me thinking about how, you know, folks like you, or potentially his age, you consider those limitations on you physically, how they impact your identity and your sense of self-worth. And what does God say about that in the Bible? Now, that's not our arrowhead. Our arrowhead is examining Christianity and exercise. But in the first instance, I just want to say, like, straight out the bat, that we're all made in God's image. And we have a sovereign God we worship. Amen? Amen. So if the trial he's elected for you at this time is that thorn in the flesh that prevents you from even walking very far or standing for too long, I just want to read that thing that that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, which is, three times I've pleaded with the Lord about this. He's talking about this being the thorn in the flesh, which we don't actually know specifically what, but people believe that it can indicate an illness. Three times I've pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For those of you who are in that situation where it's like, man, I'm here attending a talk about exercise, and I can't even do anything. I can't relate. Yes, I've had a couple of injuries, but I can't relate to that. And what I can say is, I have the utmost admiration for you and respect for you, because God in his sovereign purpose has deemed you worthy to draw upon his strength and glorify him in that. So I want to read this passage now. If you can follow it along with me, we're going to be in chapter 4 and read verses 1 to 10. So the context of this is that it's called 1 Timothy. It's a letter by Paul, the Apostle Paul, to Timothy, basically sat around sort of church functioning, and the things he needs to look out for, and so on and so forth, as well as what he needs to do in the church. So let's read what he says in chapter 4. So Paul to Timothy, the Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical lies whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness is value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Okay, so the key verses there, we're looking at sort of verse 7b through to the end of 10 there. But how do you define exercise? We're looking at exercise. How do you define it? Let's have an open floor. I know how much this church loves an open floor, because I can't wait to talk. Any definitions on exercise? Oh, there's a tumbleweed just blowing right across the floor. Raising your heart rate, yeah, great. When I did sports science, that might have even been one of the definitions. Yeah, maybe, I can't remember. Any others? Raising your heart rate, yeah, exercise. Keeping fit, yeah, fit for what? Who said that? Lady Beryl. Fit for what? That's something we're going to think about. Fit for what? That's a great, thank you for saying that. I'm really glad that, I'm really healthy, being healthy. I'm really glad that that word has come up, fit, because we're going to examine that later, because fit means fit to suit something, to be fit for something. Poppy's got an answer. Yeah, here we go. Send to mum, I'm fit, by the way. Is that what you're saying? Wow, arrogant. No, I'm joking. Okay, so definition of exercise I've got down here is to engage in physical activity for the purposes of working your body to stay healthy. And I've picked that up from the online dictionary. So we are talking about anything between just being on your feet, raising heart rate, thank you, Cam, love that, something like gentlest Pilates, or it's going for a walk, to sort of on this end, maybe high intensity workouts, sprints, weightlifting, team sports, solo sports, stamina runs, things like that. All right, so the term exercise is very broad. So whether you're thinking, hey, my Olympic days, as Ben said, my Olympic days are behind me, you know, I know John Winnie loves the football, maybe less so now than he was able to, but things like that, like, there's a big spectrum of exercise definition there, all right? And I believe that most here will be able to partake in that spectrum, okay? Even if it's just standing up and walking around your house at some point, all right? So, the headline scripture we're looking at is that key bit 7b, I call it, through to verse 8. So just look at that with me again. So rather, train yourselves to be, what's that word? Godly. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness is value for all things. So what's the repeated term in there? It's godliness or godly, that theme there. What does that mean then? We've defined exercise. What does godly mean or godliness mean? One at a time, please. Well, please, please. What does that mean? Come on, someone young. Finn. No, I'm joking. Okay, anyone? No, okay. So again, looking it up, I've got John MacArthur, J. Mack, love him. He says godliness can mean a proper attitude and response before God, which I liked. Obviously, to be godly, it's got the word God in. And English buffs among you, Lee makes it an adverb. Is that right? No? Adjective? No. But it's to be like God, right? It's to be like God, to resemble him, to be like him. So, yeah, if Jesus is our Lord, it's to be like Christ. Now, I think the big take home, if you weren't here this morning, shame on you. No, not shame on you. But Ben was drawing out this point of his harvest time. And Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. Jesus is the one who we cling to the promised harvest, the present harvest, and the... Say again? No? Help me out then. Final harvest. Thank you. Yeah, I was coming to that one. So it's this idea that Jesus... If we're in Christ, if we know him, we're attached to him, he is our life. So to be godly is ultimately to be like Jesus. But check this out from this verse. What's the headline that we see in this verse? What's more important, to be godly or to be physically fit? As a Christian, to be godly. Of course it is. And that's such a relief, isn't it? It's such a relief because the emphasis is on God working in us rather than us needing to get 5.4 in the bleep test at least, or needing to be able to do X amount of press-ups or whatever else. I work as a police officer, and every day, every year, there's a fitness test that everyone starts sweating around because you think, oh no, am I going to pass it this year? I'm confident that most people in this room could pass it. It's not that strenuous. But what a relief that isn't what we need to do. As the gospel, do you see that? It's an emphasis upon the spiritual of what God's doing in you and him making you more like himself rather than you needing to do anything. Okay? So, having that proper attitude before God, according to that definition of godliness, and being like our Lord Jesus is more important than running a 5-minute mile, or having a 6-pack, or being a gold medalist, or even staying under 12 stone, or a certain weight limit. And that's really hard to believe in this day and age. That's really hard to believe. Perhaps for the younger folks, you might think, especially when you wake up and you have some free time, you might think, in order for me to have an effective quiet time, I'm just going to go for a run, or I'm just going to do some exercise, or I'll just do something to get the blood flowing, and then I can have a quiet time, and then I'll be good to go. And that's me. I do that so often, where I think, actually, it'd be more effective for me in the long run if I just did this. Now, I'm a dad now. I go on a run. I come back. Baby screaming. Kids need attention. The quiet times can be out the window at that moment. All because I haven't prioritized. All because I haven't actually valued being godly more than exercise. Now, exercise is super important. And we're going to go into that a little bit later. But I want us to think about, is physicality, even a sort of morning walk, is that something that we can prioritize over than time with God? Because what's that word that Paul uses in verse 7? Rather, look down, train yourselves to be godly. What connotations has that word train got? Well, it speaks of rigorous, disciplined, self-sacrificing effort, doesn't it? You've got to be disciplined if you're going to train to do something. You've got to sacrifice things. You've got to be committed to that. Would that describe our pursuit of godliness? Like, think about it. It's a tough question. Or I'm like, well, like, you know, you look at the athletes on whatever, you know, it was the Diamond League Athletics a few weeks ago. I love watching athletics. They train and they cut things out of their diets and they have a rigorous timetable. Can you imagine if we just woke up and we're like, right, beast mode for the gospel today. I'm going to hit my quiet time hard. Then I'm going to listen to some praise on the way to school or college. Then I'm going to be part of the CU and be in my prayer circle. Or if we're not at school, just really packing out our timetables to be saturated with being intentional about being godly. But that's not us, is it? As a society. Why? Well, because the internet came in 1996 for public use, right? Smartphones came in. First iPhone was 2007. We live in a sedentary age. Well, we don't want to get up or do anything. We don't want to train for anything, really. We just want to plod. So I want to challenge us, first and foremost, is Paul saying, yeah, train yourselves to be godly. Is that our attitude? Before we even come to exercise and how that can help us to train to be godly, are we even having that mindset towards godliness? If Christ is our Lord and we want to resemble him because he is our life, we put our faith in him, we trust him, he has taken our sin away, we want to say, yes, my life is all about following you now, then that calls for a real hustle when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to getting to know him more. Now, why though? Why should we bother with that? Look down again. Let's see what the Bible says. Verse 8. So here's why. For, because physical training is of some value. But the training for godliness has value for all things. We're in verse 8. For all things. Has value for all things. Holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. I love that. And I like this translation as well. Because it says has value for all things. There's not a situation that you're going to go into where having trained for godliness is going to be redundant or not useful. Do you understand? Because if God is our life and we're walking with him and we're resembling him and we're knowing him, that's a glorious thing. It's going to be useful in all situations. It's what the very essence of life is about. Not just the life now, but the life to come when we're with him. And it's not going to be a sense of being before his throne when we're face to face with him thinking, I always prioritize the gym over you. I always prioritized, doing Pilates or walking around or just keeping fit, whatever, above you. No. I did train to be like you. Consider that. That training to be godly produces a security, a worthwhileness. Can you imagine, take this as an example. Can you imagine someone saying, I'm a marathon runner. Okay, how's your training going? Oh, I don't train. It's 26 miles. You're not on a timetable of like you building up to the, no. I don't. I just show up and I do a mile and I go to a pub and then I go and watch Netflix and then I do another mile. And I cover the 26 across a month. That's ridiculous. Okay, you've done the 26. You're not a marathon runner. And in the same way for us, as a church and as folks who say Jesus is our Lord, if we're not training for that godliness, we got to ask ourselves some serious questions. So how can we train for godliness, practically speaking? Let's open this up. How specifically can we train for godliness? All right, if you're an athlete, if you're an Olympian and you're on a standard everyday diet or whatever else, what are some of the first things you're going to do as an Olympian who's now plugged in, you're on the team, what are you going to do? What are you going to do first? Chocolate, junk food, gone. You've got to cut things out. You've got to stop packing out your time with some things and replace it with other things. So if we're serious about training for godliness, I think this idea of binging on anything, alcohol or Netflix or pornography or certain diets, binging has got to stop. And this isn't us just saying, right, okay, yep, I'll stop. I'll sort of work myself up into stopping. No, it's got to be done. It's got to be done with the Lord. You see in verse 10 there, we've put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people. So this hope of change to start training for godliness, it doesn't come from us. It comes from Jesus himself. So I think that's one of the first things we'd have to do with training for godliness, which is cutting out binging. How about this? If you're training for godliness, you youngsters, and you've just come off the summer holidays, what was the average wake-up time for you guys? What
time do you wake up? Come on, let's have some numbers. Come on, I'm actually going to pick on you. Poppy. What time? Actually, Mum and Dad, what time would Poppy wake up? 6. Okay, well played. You're fine. You're fine. Sam, I know you're going to be like 5 a.m. I'm joking. Maybe you guys aren't the best examples, but Jacob, Ben's pointing you out, bro. No, I'm joking. Anyway, this idea of too much sleep, it's lethargic. As I say, it's sedentary. With athletes wake up early in the morning to begin their workout routines. They say Dwayne Johnson, the big movie star, before he even starts filming on a day, he wakes up at 4 a.m. to start training so he can get his pump on and look huge, which he does. But yeah, it's again a disciplined thing of let's be intentional with wake up time. How about too much screen time, etc. And then it would be about, in this process of training for godliness, then implementing what I would call the non-negotiables. What is a non-negotiable in your day? You're going to do this thing. Whatever it is, you're going to do it. What's a non-negotiable in your day? Yeah, absolutely. Eating is a non-negotiable. You're going to eat. Anything else? Going to the loo. Excreting. Absolutely. It's a non-negotiable. You're going to do it. Yeah. Drinking, yeah. Sleeping, I think I heard someone say, yeah, I think those are the basic 4 non-negotiable things that you do. As Christians whose lives are in Christ, as we hear in Colossians, a non-negotiable needs to be spending time with our Lord, with our Maker. Amen? That needs to become a non-negotiable if we're serious about training for godliness. So practically speaking, I think that looks like non-negotiable. Setting aside time for prayer, setting aside time to get in the scripture and see more of who God is. I think that looks like setting aside time of worship, be it individually or together at church and small groups. And I know it's not easy, especially when it starts getting colder and darker. We don't feel like it sometimes. You know, you've had a long day at work and you don't feel like coming out to things. And I'm talking to myself probably more than anyone here. And this is where we need to rely upon God for that. But I would put exercise in the non-negotiables, if I'm honest. Maybe not daily, but weekly, I would put it in there. And I think we need to consider that. Because nowadays, either we're one extreme or we're the other. Where people are like, no, it's an absolute priority. This is the first thing I'm going to do. It's the first thing I'm going to do when I finish work. Whatever else. I'm going to exercise. And then other folks just deem it as something that is very take it or leave it. Like, I'll be fine. It's fine. I don't need to move. I don't need to exercise. I don't need to, as we say, like, make any effort towards improving my health by moving. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Think about where you are in terms of how you perceive exercise. I would challenge us with other scriptures. Take from, if I can pick them out. They're in the Corinthians series, how talk about how your body is not your own. And I know in the context that's talking about immorality and purity. But it's this idea that our bodies aren't ours. They're God. So we've got to be good stewards of them, right? And a great way to be a steward, if we're able to, is to try and look after it by way of exercise. So I think I would put exercise in the non-negotiables over the sort of course of a week rather than a day. I'm not saying you have to exercise every day. But what did the passage say about bodily exercise? It is of some value. So it is. So what value is this? What's that talking about? Well, it's talking about, obviously, your physical health. You're increasing the strength of your heart, that vital organ pumping blood around your body. You're increasing your muscle performance, your bone density. You're keeping your weight down by partaking in some form of exercise. And this changes, as we said, right from walking half an hour if you're able, or even just sort of stretching or doing right up to the weightlifting and the sprinting and stuff like that. So physical health. Obviously, the first point is you're being a good steward of your body if you're exercising, and that's important. And I would commend you if you're not able to, if you are able to exercise and it's something that you're sort of really not doing because it's an effort, I would challenge you. I'd say, okay, some people who are actually unable would kill, not literally, would love to have what you've got in being able to exercise. So don't abuse that. Use it. Use it. Okay, how about this? This is probably far more of a priority for me. Mental health. With exercising, the endorphin release, the chemical release, the sense of being able to move and do stuff as God's made us to, it does wonders for our mental health. There have been times where I've been super low and being able to just go for a run or hit a bag or lift some weights or play some sport has been a really God-given remedy to sort of quasi-depression or whatever you want to call it. Really helpful. So, and you know, you find if you go to the doctors, one of the first things they say if you say you're depressed or you say that you're having trouble sleeping is, how's the exercise going? How are you exercising? In terms of value, physical health, mental health, and that encapsulates being good stewards and caretakers of the bodies God has given us. But it also sort of is indicative of being as God made us, right? So we spoke about the two extremes, being sedentary or overly obsessed. It's being as God has made us because we're actually saying, I'm not governed by screens. I'm not just going to sit down and do nothing all day and watch other people live life. I'm going to go and experience the world. I'm going to go and actually do something, which is something that a large portion of the population do. Now, for most healthy adults, the Department of Health and Human Services recommends 30 minutes of exercise a day. I don't know how you feel about that. I always love to include that stat because I always think it through. Like, if I get to the end of the day, I think, oh, no, I haven't had my 30 minutes today, and I start freaking out. I don't say that to try and freak you out, but it's just good for us to bear in mind in terms of if we're able to, what does that look like? Go and take that prayer walk. I don't know if you can pray on the move, but sometimes that can be a great thing. But why? Why would you exercise then? So, okay, great. We know it's about stewarding your body, being a good steward of your body and being helpful. But what are some of the other motivations for exercise? Well, tell me about the world. As we said, we've spoken about the Insta. I'm not on social media. I sacked it off a few years back because I found it to be hugely toxic and narcissistic. Each to their own. I'm sure it can be. Can it be used for God's glory? No, I'm sure it can. If you're only posting scripture, lol. But a lot of people will take those selfies because they want to exercise to be a certain shape. Or want to be a certain shape. Or want to be a certain muscle capacity for women. Like, there's so much posing in Lycra or whatever else to try and show off certain bits of their body. And that is their whole identity. Like, I've got to be this shape. And an injury comes along that can no longer be that shape. And a mental health crisis hits. Depression hits. Super unhealthy motivation for exercise. I just want to be aesthetic right. Unhealthy. Secondly, how about this? I want to exercise because I want to be a good steward of my body. I want to have my heart healthy so I can live longer, so I can defeat death. Again, not a great motivation. Of course, we want to live a godly, full lives to His glory. But this idea of anxiously scrambling to salvage a life isn't a great motivation for exercise because it's not us trusting Him; it's us almost trying to play God. Now, look, I'm not saying that if you want to be under a certain weight, that's a bad thing. No, it's good to have goals and it's good to approach such goals with God, but when the focus is on us rather than Him, that's when it becomes a problem. Now this is what I'm driving at. We've seen that of more value than physical training is training to be godly. So my point tonight is exercise is at its best for the Christian when you're using it to train for godliness. What? So exercise is at its best when we're using it to help us train for godliness. So for instance, if I'm going to go for a run post-quiet time or post-time with the Lord, because I know that endorphin release is going to make me less sort of hanky with Hannah and the kids, or it's going to make me more sort of tired in a good way, and that deep sort of muscle pain of endorphin release, I'm feeling good, I'm going to be more able to walk with the Spirit, great. That's helping me train for godliness. You know, or if I've got loads of energy and I'm not exercising and I'm coming to church and Ben's talking and I'm just thinking about this, and I'm not listening to a word the guy's saying, exercise, I've ruined the opportunity for exercise to help me train for godliness. Because that's what we're made to do. We're made to move. So as Christians, that's our primary goal. We want physical exercise to assist us in our training for spiritual exercise, aka we want to be holy, we want to be godly. Alright? Now as I alluded to earlier, the danger is when you sort of, there's a Trojan horse of over-spiritualization of exercise, which is again something I do on a regular basis, which is, even today I was tempted to do it, you know, even before this, it's like, best thing to do would just be to go for a run now to clear my head and then, then go give the talk. But actually, no, it's far better to spend the time in prayer, spend the time with the Lord. Like he's sovereign. So there's a warning here of allowing exercise to take precedence over spiritual time. And that reveals what we prioritize. So I really don't know where each one of us are at tonight, in respect to exercise, in respect to where does it feature in our priorities. But yeah, we fundamentally examined that point, which is it is of some value. That's to be utilized, but far better is to use it for the training to be godly. Let's just read those last couple of verses 9 and 10. So Paul says, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. So he's like, come at me. Don't argue with me on this. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. So fundamentally, it's about him, isn't it? When we exercise, if it's about us, if it's about things that we take away from God, that good thing that God has given in exercise becomes a God thing, and that becomes a bad thing. Which we don't want. So let me pray for us. We've sort of spun through there. I'm conscious of time. Let's pray about this thing. Father God, we thank you so much for our bodies. Thank you for how amazingly complex they are. Lord, in the way that we move and process and heal and grow, Lord, you've made us so wonderfully. Father, we pray that you would help us to look at exercise in the right way. Lord, for those here who are able to exercise, yet it's become something that they're not doing, Lord, I pray that you would help motivate them to look at you, to be good stewards of the bodies you've given them, so that they can be more godly, that they can develop and grow spiritually and be more like you. Thank you for making us to move and to have hearts that can beat faster. Lord, for those of us who look at exercise as an idol and abuse it and make it prioritize times with you, please forgive us, please change us, please help us to understand its purpose and what it can be used for, rather than us doing it aside from you. And Lord, for those who are here who are unable to exercise, Lord, I thank you that you are sovereign over that situation. Lord, I thank you that the best thing about them is Christ himself, and that he has called them his adopted brothers and sisters before you. Thank you that you are a heavenly Father. I pray, Lord, that for those people, Lord, yeah, you'd really just encourage them tonight. Lord, we look forward to having those new bodies in heaven with you, which won't be beset by injury or illness. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.